My Little Fortress, Teamwork is Magic, Chapter 10. Everyone turned to the two entering the room.
Oh, thank goodness. She's all right.
All of them were in a large circle, surrounding a body on a cot.
Injie!
The man had a dilapidated medigun trained on him.
What happened?
The red spur,
he said through gritted teeth, obviously in pain. He was covered in bloody bandages, mainly around his chest and arms.
He ambushed me. Twilight, he took the plans.
The sentence hit her like a freight train. She looked around quickly, trying to piece it all together.
No. No!
That's not the only thing he took.
Scott's voice was barely audible, but he pointed to the regenerator, a large section covered in knife marks, and it was sparking wildly.
Ain't no respawning anymore,
Scout said, more to his hands than to anyone in particular, head clasped tightly.
Game over, man! Game over!
Twilight looked around at all the melancholy faces. They'd given up hope, just like Scout. Even Pinky's enthusiasm had drained, her hair losing some of its signature curl. She caught sight of a gray Pegasus in the corner, her back turned to everyone. Rarity levitated a small note.
The poor dear. She was holding this when she came in with Injie on her back, but she hasn't made a peep since she got here.
Twilight brought the note to eye level and read the small print. It seemed hastily scribbled, and there was a hole on the top that obscured some of the words, but the handwriting still had an elegance about it that transcended the sloppy lettering.
Mon petit ponies, I hope you receive this note. After all, your friend with the lazy eyes could have been so easily lost. It would be a shame to lose something so important to all of you. I did, however, pin it to the engineer. Hopefully she's got enough brain cells to take him back to you.
You have awakened my rage. I can no longer stand this torture I'm being put through day in and day out. I've written this little note not 3 feet from her. I could have easily done her in. The engineer is your last mercy. I will end all of this tomorrow. You've got one life now. Let's see how well you use it. The plans are in our intel, and I'm the final guard. Now I get to watch you squirm and futilely fight to do anything even resembling progress. Red wins, and you have lost. Au revoir. P.S. Keep the knife. Twilight was silent for a long time, drawing everything in. Her senses seemed distant, like a bad dream she was overdue to wake up from. She trotted slowly over to Derpy, taking care not to startle her.
Derpy?
The mare didn't turn around.
Are you okay?
A loud sniff punctuated the silence, along with a quiet sob. She slowly turned, but not far enough to be able to see Injie, even out of the corner of her eye. Twilight looked into the normally bright gold eyes, now rimmed red and dull. She was shuddering periodically as she slowly shook her head.
My fault.
Twilight drew her into a hug, trying her best to calm the sobbing mare. She tried to think of words of comfort, but her mind was drawing blanks. She couldn't even cheer herself up, let alone someone who had so much more to lose.
You did your best, and no one blames you for what happened, she sputtered out.
But it didn't seem to help much, as Derpy turned away.
What now?
The question rang around the silent room. Everyone lowered their heads in realization.
I don't know.
Twilight collapsed on the ground, the floodgate of emotion finally breaching. Her eyes welled up and her mind raced.
All we fought for.
They all sat quietly, some disappointed, others quietly angry, and still others barely containing their own flood of tears. The quiet hung in the air for what seemed like an eternity. It was Trixie that finally broke it.
So, this is how Celestia's prize student ends, not with a bang, but a whimper, stuck in some world she doesn't belong, the elements of harmony, the defeaters of Nightmare Moon, of discord, brought down by a man with a knife and a broken machine. I was wrong, Twilight. I thought you had the heart and soul to do whatever it took to return, but it seems I was mistaken.
There's nothing we can do right now, Trixie.
Twilight, do you know what I did after I left Ponyville?
Trixie asked. Twilight shook her head.
I trained. I went day in and day out, and every moment I had free, I dedicated to topping the only unicorn who could best me. I thought it would be a match of the century to rematch you. And what do I find? Someone who hasn't progressed at all. You formulated a plan to defeat an Ursa Major in all of 10 minutes, but now that you have a full night, you can't think of anything? What are we supposed to do? I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to get those plans back tomorrow. It's hopeless. No, it's not. We've been here long enough. We are good enough to survive one attack. We can survive anything that they throw at us, but you don't want to do it because it might not work. Well, I'll tell you this. It might not work, but we certainly aren't going to get home by giving up. Right here at the finish line before somebody put a rock in the path.
Twilight looked up from the ground, deep in thought.
I believe in you. I believe in all of us. But we won't get anywhere until you start believing in yourselves.
Trixie shifted her attention to the rest of the room.
You didn't refer to yourself as Trixie at all in that, Twilight wondered aloud.
I'm not putting on a show anymore. What I've said is the truth. Now who's with me?
No one moved at first.
Fine. If no one will help, I'll do it alone. At least then I'll know that I died trying to save my friends.
Well, it ain't an attack without a little defense to fall back on.
Not to brag or anything, but I think you guys are a little too slow to get the job done.
Dasha's anger had channeled into competitive nature and sparked her into action.
I think you could use a scout, couldn't you?
A pink hoof clasped Trixie around the shoulders.
Silly, I can't let my medic buddy do it without some firepower. Just let me at him. Sasha will teach him their lesson.
Her face was lit up like it was one of her parties.
It would seem that the current arrangement is lacking a certain elegance, a certain, if you'll pardon the pun, class.
Rarity twirled the knife with her magic,
and I simply cannot stand by and let a little ruffian ruin all we've accomplished.
Fluttershy quietly walked over, if only to help her friends. Angel hopped onto her back, shoving the helmet over his eyes and grinning wildly. Trixie looked at the Pegasus and the unicorn still in the corner.
Well?
Twilight kept her gaze downwards. Her brain screamed to join, but also told her to keep away. Trixie was right. She knew that. But the idea of putting her friends in danger at all made her hesitate. Until she saw motion out of the corner of her eye. She looked up to see Derpy slowly trot across the room. She turned around, pulling the mask over her muzzle. In her eyes was a steely determination that Twilight had never seen before on any pony, let alone the resident male pony.
Trixie.
Twilight stood up, but her eyes locked back on the ground.
I couldn't live with myself if I knew that my friends' deaths were ever caused by me. If I made one mistake on the field, if I miscalculated even one variable, if anything went wrong at all, I would feel the most responsible because my plans led to it. But if I don't plan at all, I'll feel even worse because I'll die knowing that I could have changed it. So I guess what I'm saying is...
She lifted her head triumphantly, revealing a smile.
That we've got 6 hours. Time to get working.
The scout watched them all move to a map of the building on the table.
You think they can do it?
He asked under his breath to the sniper.
If anyone can, it's them.
All right. So no one will leave the spawn until their part. I don't want anyone getting caught unaware. Got it?
They all shook their heads.
Any other questions?
No one said a word, their enthusiasm brimming.
Good. Time for part one. Dash, you ready?
You know it.
Dash popped the tab on the bonk and chugged the can quickly. She felt her eyes open wide as the caffeine surged through her veins. Her nostrils flared and she blasted out of the spawn. In the 8 real-world seconds the bonk would work, Dash's brain felt like it was an hour. Her wings pulled her as fast as they could as she weaved through Red's base, noting every person's position. A sentry beeped at her, but she was out of its sight before it fired a single shot. She blasted back to the spawn as the intense sugar high faded.
Well?
A level 5 sentry on the court, at the top of the stairs. A dispenser blocking spirals, so I'm not sure what's downstairs. And it looks like most of their team is going to attack the bridge soon. I saw the medic hanging with the soldier, the heavy, and the demo. Their scout and NG are patrolling. Sniper's in the usual place. I didn't see the pyro or the spy, so I assumed they're down in the intel.
Excellent. Now for part two. Applejack? Set up the defenses. Rarity, Fluttershy, you're up. You too, Dash.
The Red Quartet headed to the front doors.
So, war ends today?
The Heavy led the group, the others letting him out in front to act as a mobile wall to take their hits for them.
Yes, my comrade. This spy has assured us Blue's end shall come today.
The medic shouted, an aura of sheer joy in his voice. They all stepped outside. They froze as the sniper fell from his perch to the ground in front of them, a knife mark on his back revealing his fate.
Where are you, spy? I know you are.
The heavy fell to his knees, a sniper brown piercing his head. The demo man shot forward, propelled by two blasts from the force of nature. He landed hard on the other side of the bridge, collapsing from the fall damage. Dash rocketed out from between the soldier and the medic.
How's it going, slowpokes? She laughed.
The soldier fired rockets at her, but she easily dodged them in the air. He started to reload, but a knife interrupted him. The medic stood alone on the bridge.
It matters not. We'll respawn, and you won't.
He fired his needle gun at Dash, landing a few weak hits.
Then we'll just have to be quick.
Dash flew right into the medic's face, slamming the barrel of the gun into his chest.
Won't we?
She fled upwards, launching him skyward quickly. The blue dot traced the wall, then up the airborne German's coat to a point right between the eyes. Fluttershy shot, and the doctor plummeted to the ground like a limp doll. The timid Pegasus put a hoof to her ear, activating the microphone. Twilight heard a small voice over the earpiece.
Bridge clear.
Perfect. Now time for part three. Everyone, we're going. Twilight, Pinky, Angel, Trixie, and Derpy ran out. The group ran onto the bridge from the battlements. Twilight stopped on the ledge while the rest kept going. Dash, Fluttershy, Rarity, keep the bridge clear. I don't want any surprises our way back. Dash saluted while Rarity and Fluttershy nodded. Angel, go up. Everyone else, go down. Twilight laid down a sticky and blasted through the air. Angel fired a rocket at his feet, launching himself straight up. Twilight grabbed the rabbit in mid-flight, tossing him onto her back with a flip and landing on the other side. Trixie ran into the small room beside the court while Derpy ran into the nearby hall. They were about to turn the corner when a Boston accent greeted her.
Hey, look, it's that medic who can't figure out how to use a weapons. What, you came to die by my hands?
He chuckled. The great and powerful Trixie is not the simple medic you once knew.
Really? So now you ain't completely useless. Only 98% useless.
The scout sneered. Trixie scoffed, eyes closed.
Ye of little brain power, you know not who you speak to, for the great and powerful Trixie has learned a technique that shall make even the bravest souls tremble in my presence.
Now you're gonna talk me to death? Look, I'm done messing around.
He ran at them, gun drawn, and pulled the trigger almost right next to Trixie. Trixie's eyes shot open, glowing brilliantly. A blue glow encased her and Pinky, giving them a look of moving steel. The pellets bounced off Trixie's chest, and she laughed. Pinky swung a wide punch and connected with the scout's face.
Quick! It won't last forever!
They ran into the court, and the sentry greeted them with three quick beeps. A hail of gunfire and missiles launched at the two, bouncing harmlessly off.
I'm bulletproof!
Pinky's minigun tore holes in the machine that the French Engie tried to fix. The gun exploded brilliantly, and the engineer tried to run, but Pinky's bullets took him out quickly.
Twilight, we've got it! Go, go, go!
Twilight and Angel ran from the battlements, charging down the spiral, while Derpy took the straight. Twilight stepped into the room, and she saw the spy standing in the middle.
You've done well. I mean that. Not a single death so far. But that ends here.
Why are you doing this? We'd be leaving. You'd never see us again.
I don't care about not seeing you again. I want revenge. I've been humiliated for 2 months by a group of colorful ponies. You can't imagine what it's like to be the one who has spent his whole life fighting people. And when a new enemy shows up, they're the toughest foes you've ever had. And they're horses! Now say goodbye. Because you're never going home.
A flare burst the man into flames.
Ah! What the?
He turned to the doorway, and Twilight took her chance. Angel jumped up, she did a roll, and the bunny landed on her hooves. She kicked as hard as she could, sending him flying. The spy turned his head back just in time to see the white puffball smack him with the shovel. The red spy fell to the ground, the plans unrolling away from him. Twilight grabbed the plans and quickly put them in her saddlebag. Now for the final part. Book it! They took off, running at full speed up the spiral, but Twilight's heart sunk when she saw the red pyro at the top.
No!
Her brain screamed. We were so close! The pyro started towards them, but stopped. It looked around, as if to see if anyone else was nearby. When no one else was, the unthinkable happened. The pyro stepped out of the way. Twilight gasped, but wasn't going to argue. She ran past and down the grate, out the door. When Derpy passed by, the pyro extended a hand to the mare.
pervert.
Derpy tearfully accepted the handshake, knowing she could never repay the person for what had just happened. The red medic and Heavy crawled out of the sewers into the blue base.
Doom Cafe, I bet they didn't even know about the sewers.
So what now, Doctor?
When they come through the door, you maul them down!
The two ran towards the front doors, but stopped suddenly. An orange earth pony stared at them with a smirk on her face.
Well, howdy!
Her sentry caught wind of the intruders and fired upon them, reducing them to shreds.
Aw, leaving so soon? Don't come again.
Twilight ran onto the bridge with the others in tow. We've got it! We've got it! Come on! Dash zoomed into the spawn while Rarity followed them. Fluttershy was zoomed in on the bridge, watching for any final threats. The group ran to the door, and she galloped in behind. They ran past Applejack, who brought up the rear. They all filtered into spawn, with the waiting classes looking at them eagerly as the door shut behind them.
Well?
The scout asked, wringing his hands. Twilight pulled the plans out of the bag, and they all cheered when she enrolled them on the table. She turned to everyone. Victory! The cheering was deafening.
Not to spoil the mood for our line, but we may already be too late.
The medic directed their attention to a curtain that hid Inji.
The medigun isn't fixing him quickly enough, and I think it's about to break.
What about Trixie's medigun?
It's only set to work on new ponies, not humans. I'm afraid there's nothing we can do.
Twilight's head sank, but Trixie spoke up. Actually, I believe there's one thing I can do, but I would like some privacy with the Inji. I need to make sure he's okay with it. The doctor pulled the curtain back, and Trixie stepped inside. Twilight lost track of how long Trixie was behind the curtain. She was just about to look in on her and find out when a brilliant light bathed the room. The sound of a medigun healing followed the light's dispersal. Trixie popped her head out from behind the curtain.
Fillies and gentlemen, I have solved the problem.
She pulled back the curtain and they all gasped. Standing behind it was an orange earth pony. His short yellow hair was messy and unrefined. He looked up at the team with blue eyes. A familiar voice escaped his throat.
So how do I look?
Everyone's jaws were agape.
You're a pony.
Courtesy of yours truly.
Trixie bowed.
Now hold your applause, please.
What?
Twilight couldn't even search for the words that she wanted to say.
It was the only way, I'm afraid, since no one but him knew how to fix or modify the machines, and since the only working metagun only works on ponies.
She trailed off to let them put two and two together. The demo poked Inji's ear, trying to prove to himself that he wasn't hallucinating.
Yes, demo, I'm real.
So, is it permanent?
Alas, yes, there's no way for the spell to end. For all intents and purposes, Inji is now a pony forever. And you agreed to this?
That's better than dying. I wasn't going to survive too much longer, to be honest.
He looked over the plans.
I guess I better get started.
He pulled the goggles over his eyes and put his hard hat on.
We'll get y'all home real soon, I guarantee it.
He gripped the wrench in his teeth and set about procuring the materials. The others would help, bringing the metal he needed. Twilight pulled Trixie aside.
How did you learn that spell? Remember, Twilight, I trained for months since our last encounter. I've learned more than a few tricks since then.
Could you, teach me?
Trixie grinned, a strange mix between a competitive smirk and a genuinely friendly smile.
I think I can do that.
There's that. And here. And got it.
Inji looked over the teleporter. It had taken him most of the day to get it done, but it was coming along.
Instead of the smaller teleporter he'd always built, this was much bigger, functioning more like a portal. The apparatus was large enough to step through. He had scrapped the regenerator to attain the metal he needed. Now for the finishing touches.
I've got to hand it to you. You certainly have gotten used to the whole being pony thing pretty quickly.
Dash handed him another piece, while Sniper dug through another box of parts, looking for anything that could be used.
It just feels natural. I bet it's part of the spell. Although I'm forced to spend more time than I want on account of getting my bearings. I'll be done soon, though.
The man's work was interrupted by a sound he hadn't heard in years. The rumbling of a train engine. Ingy and Sniper looked at each other, recognizing it.
You go out. I got sound. I'll listen from here.
Dash and Sniper ran outside to the others in the court. A woman stepped off the engine and headed towards them. Fluttershy backed away.
It's her, isn't it?
Twilight nodded as she approached.
Miss Pauling? It's been a long time.
Good evening, gentlemen. And you as well, ponies.
What are you doing here?
Scout eyed her with suspicion.
Because last time you're here, you killed an innocent.
The statement made her business demeanor slip for a brief second, showing hurt on her face. She quickly recovered, however. That was far in the past, and I would like to see it stay there. No, I'm here on a matter of business. A congratulatory matter. You see, Red has broken the terms of the war by sabotaging a key piece of equipment. Therefore, Blue is declared the winner.
It's over?
Heavy asked.
You mean?
The medic pieced it together.
We can go home?
Scout jumped up, excited.
I can see my ma again?
I'm afraid. She pulled out her revolver. Not. Fluttershy cowered, seeing the gun from her nightmares come into reality. You are in possession of precious knowledge the companies of Red and Blue would like to keep private, and as they say, dead men tell no tales. She took aim at the closest merc, which happened to be Scout. I'm sorry it has to end like this. She slowly pulled the trigger. Then swung wildly, firing a bullet into the wall. A shower of sparks burst out and a piece of paneling fell off, revealing a broken camera. She turned again and fired another spot on the opposite wall. Another camera revealed. One more shot, and a third camera high above their heads was dismantled. Okay, we're clear. She can't see us. She signaled to the train, and it pulled away from the base.
What the hell is going on? I want answers! Now! Why are you here?
Yesterday, the administrator saw the Red spy disable the regenerator, which, as I said, violated the terms of the war. She told me to come out here and terminate you, but I want to help you escape.
So you send away the only means of travel we have in a desert?
You mean that train? As if on cue, a massive explosion destroyed it, lighting the night sky orange for a moment. I found the bomb on my way here. She was going to kill you, and me, no matter what. We no longer have a purpose, so they've planned to dispose of us.
So what's the plan, then?
I don't know. The confidence in her voice simply drained. She adjusted her glasses. I honestly didn't think I'd make it this far, but the point is that we've got one day to think of something, because she's probably already put some goons on a new train, and I don't think they'll be as sympathetic to your plight as me.
Please! You expect me to trust some dame who's about to kill us? No dice.
Scout turned and walked away.
I'll find my own way out of here. I'll get home. I gotta see my ma.
I don't think you realize what's going on here, she called after him. Some deep-seated anger that she had been harboring for a long time found an outlet. You're wanted.
I don't care! My ma's the only reason I've been doing this!
Please stop. She was starting to flush red.
You think I enjoy doing the same damn thing every day? No!
For your own sake, stop.
I do it because I know my ma's getting the money I make!
Scout, your mother thinks you died 5 years ago. Never had a silence been so heavy. Not a soul breathed. Even the wind seemed to stop for a moment. Scout didn't turn. The only sound was a softly uttered.
What?
She'd broken down. She sent them out. Death reports on all of you. Anyone who knew you thinks you died within a year of coming here. You'd all said you'd give your money to your families, so Blue faked your death so they didn't have to keep paying for anything bigger than hats or weapons.
They all stood in silence as they looked to each other.
So my ma, my brothers, they all think I'm dead? How do you know?
He had gone from silence to a boiling rage. I'm sorry, I didn't know it was in the packages. They told me years later. It's all my fault. She collapsed to her knees, the force knocking her glasses off. Scout stood a while longer. He tromped away, presumably to find some place to be alone. As he walked off, he threw a mean punch at the wall, busting a hole in it. He continued in silence. Fluttershy tentatively stepped towards Miss Pauling, picking up her glasses. She lightly nuzzled the weeping woman until she calmed down enough to raise her head. Fluttershy dropped the glasses onto her palms.
You dropped these.
Miss Pauling sniffled, putting her glasses back on. Thank you. She looked up at the concerned eyes of everyone in the court.
I guess I'm making a fool of myself. Again. I won't blame you for not forgiving me. I can't say I truly forgive myself.
An uncomfortable amount of time passed, but Sniper sighed.
You did what you had to, miss. It's part of the job.
He said plainly.
As an assassin, I'd have to call myself a pretty big hypocrite for getting mad at someone for doing their job.
Slowly, the mercs forgave, or at least put their feelings aside for a later time. Miss Pauling looked slowly around, having a hard time looking anyone in the eyes. The air in the court was broken by Ingy walking out on top of the stairs.
Hey, y'all. I gotta wrap this up. You think you could...
He gestured that he needed his helpers back. Sniper and Dash triapsed back to the spawn room. Ingy walked down to the still, bleary-eyed woman in the court.
Listen, what you said, I believe you. You don't seem like a bad person. But these things are going to take a lot more time, you hear?
She didn't respond, only looking at the new colt in amazement. Mr. Conahay?
I haven't been called that in a long time.
You're a pony now?
I didn't have much choice. It was either this or dying.
But I... What are you going to do? You can't go back to the real world, even if you could get out. You're a talking horse.
That's why I was going to follow them, to their world.
He pointed a hoof at the mares.
Speaking of which, I gotta keep working, especially now that we've got a time limit.
That's... ingenious! That's how we're getting out of here. She got to her feet. Who's the one who cast the spell? Trixie, now with a new audience member, put on her showmare attitude once again. That would be moi. How long would it take to do that to everyone here? For one as powerful as myself, no time at all. So you could do it before tomorrow? Of course, as long as my participants are willing. She turned to Twilight. Especially if I could get a little bit of assistance. Twilight nodded.
What are you going on about?
Don't you see? We have a way out of here, to their world.
We're all gonna be turned into horses!
Look, I know it's a stretch, but it's all we've got. So, who's first? No one moved. Guys, this is the only chance. We're not going to get out of here alive as humans, but you have a teleporter out of here, if you're ponies. Still, no one moved, looking uncomfortably towards one another. Fine, then. She turned to Trixie. I'll go first. You do understand this is permanent, don't you? She nodded. Then let us begin. Close your eyes. Trixie's horn began to glow brilliantly. A bright light overcame Miss Pauling. The lights grew brighter and brighter, acting as a beacon in the dark night. Everyone averted their eyes, and when they looked back, a violet Pegasus met them. Dark purple hair still in her signature buns, glasses perched on her nose. She looked startled, then began looking over herself. A Pegasus? The spell bases everything on your personality, so I have no control over what it turns you into. She took a few flaps to her new wings, slowly rising. I think I'll get the hang of this. She hovered over the heads of the team. Okay, now have I proven myself trustworthy? The medic stood.
I still don't know how to feel about the news, but it does no good to have died in vain. Doctor?
He cast a sly grin at Trixie.
If you would.
Trixie's horn began to glow, followed by a bright light. When it faded, standing in his place was a white unicorn, a shock of red for a mane. He perched his glasses back on his nose.
Well?
Perfect. Who's next? The Heavy moved forward.
Heavy will go.
The Russian placed his weapon on the ground and plodded over to the unicorn. She cast the spell, and the bright light overtook him. He looked over his sky-blue hooves, then felt his head, bumping a horn but no hair.
Even as pony, I have no hair.
If I gave you a mustache for a while, would that help?
Yes, mustache would help.
Twilight put a black mustache on the smiling Ruski's face. The pyro stepped forward next. 1, 2, 3. The spell hit and enveloped the pyromaniac. Pegasus' wings flared. The coat was a yellowish with orange hair, like a living fire. Bright red eyes shone where the mask had been, now disappeared. But something seemed different than the two that went before. The muzzle was more pointed, more similar to Miss Pauling.
You're a girl?
The demo was the only one to say it, but shock went through almost everyone.
Yeah. Duh. Wait, seriously? None of you knew? I've been here all this time, and you never knew? The purse in my cubby? The gardening hat?
I always thought you were just a fruit.
The soldier sat, unmoved. The pyro and soldier started arguing. Dash listened over the speaker in the spawn.
Pyro's a girl?
Makes sense to me.
Inji didn't even look up, while Sniper was upside down to his waist in a large box, trying to reach a part at the very bottom. Scout sat deep in the intel, looking at the only picture he had left. A faded portrait, taken one family holiday when he was 8. His brother surrounded his mom, mid-fight captured forever. The eldest held 2 of them by the scruffs of their Christmas sweaters while he was being held apart from another one by the length of his mother's arms. In the corner, his older brothers stood scoffing and shaking their heads. Half of them had seemed to inherit their father's fiery spirit, while the other got his mother's cool head. He could never remember what had set the family off, but he loved the picture as he grew older and wiser. So many mistakes he wished he could set right. As he looked at it, he played with the dog tags around his neck.
I'll always love them,
he thought, standing up and slipping the photo into his pocket. He came up to a scene that he thought he'd never see. A large blue unicorn holding apart a white earth pony with a helmet on his head and a fiery filly shouting profanities at one another. It took him a second to register what was going on when his brain finally clicked, and he decided to stop the chaos with a trick his mom had taught him. He put 2 fingers to his lips and let out a shrill whistle. Soldier fell over, clutching his ears. A purple unicorn with an eye patch over one eye laughed at him. A bright light caught his eye, and he saw a dark purple unicorn step away from Trexy.
Merci.
He could pick that accent out of a crowd of millions.
I'm going with you tomorrow.
Sniper cast a glance at him.
Are you sure?
I've been thinking about it pretty hard, and what happened was 5 years ago. 5 whole years. By now, they've gotten over it, and even if I did get to them, then what? Go back into hiding, never get to see them again anyways? Make them experience my death twice? Not a chance. I can't do it to them.
Trixie trotted over to him. You are the final performance of the night. I suggest you remove anything you find valuable. He pulled the dog tags off his neck, then put them in his hat, along with his picture, and set them on the ground.
I'm ready.
The group gathered into the spawn, all 19 standing in a semicircle. Behind them was a sealed crate filled with items of sentimental value from all the classes. They looked expectantly at Inji. Well? He hooked a large wire into the base of the object, now looking like a doorway. After a few quick adjustments of the various knobs and levers on the device, he flipped the large switch. A formidable spark surged through, and the device began to whir as the power surged. Bulbs in the frame lit up one by one. The final light shone, and they began to arc. Energy built quickly, and with a mighty sound, the portal formed. It was like looking at a postcard. The dense amount of trees signaled that it was going to drop them off somewhere in the Everfree Forest in the middle of a storm. But it was definitely home. They cheered, Pinky practically bursting with excitement.
Well, y'all say your goodbyes, because once we step through this, we ain't coming. Anyone else hear that?
They listened for the new sound, and sure enough, they could hear it in the distance.
Hurl!
Miss Pauling put a hoof to her face. The sound of splintering wood outside the steel door was drowned out by an exclamation of
property damage!
That seemed to shake the walls themselves. They ran outside to see a gargantuan man standing in front of them with a large bag full of what appeared to be bloody and battered protest signs. Mr. Hale, what are you doing here?
Ah, Miss Portling, You're here.
He didn't turn around, still working his right foot out of the wooden floors.
I came to deliver the new weapons.
You did say that protest signs were acceptable, right?
Yes, but... A crack broke a part of the boards off, and Saxon Hale's foot still firmly stuck in them. He turned around, expecting to be at eye level, then looked down and gasped.
Blimey! Your ponies! The ponies!
He picked up a panicking Fluttershy.
I can't believe it! I must be dreaming!
Please help me, Fluttershy quietly asked in the Australian's arms.
Wait, so you watch it too?
Scout cocked his head to the side.
Of course!
Miss Pauling stepped forward. Mr. Hale, the war is over.
What do you mean the war's over?
I mean Red cheated, therefore Blue is the winner.
So I borrowed all these hippie protest sticks for nothing? No, that won't do. Is Red still spawning?
Well, I suppose so. They haven't shut everything down yet.
Perfect!
He let Fluttershy down and patted her head. Then he picked up a sign with a Give Peace a Chance emblazoned upon it.
Fillies, gentle colts, I've got a war to continue.
He ran away, yelling at the top of his lungs all the way.
Saxton Hale!
Ingy cleared his throat.
As I was saying, say your goodbyes, everyone, because we ain't coming back.
Zecora strode along the familiar path, heading towards a large group of flowers for her potions. Though it stormed all around her, she needed the flowers desperately. A sound startled her into dropping the set of flowers she had just picked. A strange doorway seemed to open up in a nearby oak, and a large group started trotting out of it. She shook her head and rubbed her eye, not believing it at first. Are my eyes deceiving me, or is that twilight sparkle I see? She ran towards the unicorn, nuzzling her friend who had been gone for far too long. We did it! We're home! Twilight looked wistfully over the landscape, taking in the sight of her colorful world as she remembered it. Even the rain, she knew this place. Her heart fluttered, and it felt as though a tremendous weight had been lifted off her shoulders. 2 months and a half since we saw you last. Where did you go after the blast? It's a long story, and I'll tell you at another point, but I think we need to check in with Ponyville first. She looked around. Of course, my friend, over that hill. You'll find the road to Ponyville. The group thanked Zecora and stopped on the crest of the hill. A few miles away, she could see it clearly. Her home. Mayor Mare shuffled a new set of papers onto her desk, legislation that she didn't really care about. The entire day had been dreary. Life had been dreary since they disappeared, and it was taking its toll on her. For all the trouble they caused, and the fact of the matter was, Ponyville needed the Keepers of the Elements of Harmony. Search parties had been scouring the land day and night, but to no avail. She put a pin to the paper, an order to stop the search parties. If they were going to be found, she thought, we would have found them by now. A loud slam on her door, followed by a frantic knocking, interrupted her. She grumbled as she answered the door to a grinning Pegasus. Yes, Cloudburst? The Phillies down... Ugh. He was sputtering and pointing towards the town's entrance. Spit it out, I don't have all day. They're here! What do you mean? The Pegasus shook his head so hard that she thought he might hurt himself. Down Main Street, come on! He flew off in a hurry, the mayor giving pursuit. The town went into a deafening roar of applause as the Keepers of the Element of Harmony, along with their new friends, stepped into Ponyville soil. Rarity spotted a shuffling in the crowd, ponies making way for the mayor. The tan mare adjusted her glasses. It's true, you're back! She turned to the Pegasus that had followed her. Call back the search parties and alert their families. A million questions bombarded the group at once, but Twilight brushed them off. We'll answer your questions at another time. We've been through a lot, you know. Rarity! Sweetie ran through the mare's legs, running after her sister. The two affectionately nuzzled. Oh, sweetie, I've missed you so much. A dog ran barking up to Applejack, followed by her sister and brother. The Apple family shared a group hug, finally reunited. Pinky's faithful yet clueless gator waddled up to her, as if she never left. She smiled at him, and he replied by applying a vice grip of his jaws to her hair. Aw, I love you too, Gummy. Dash stood, waving at those who were welcoming her, but slightly concerned. Of all the people she expected to see, Scootaloo was at the top of her list, but the filly was nowhere in sight. She flew high, looking for her biggest fan, and spotted her, far, far away, on a hill under a tree.
Hey, Twi. Twilight looked up. I'll be back later. Don't start any parties without me.
Twilight nodded before hearing a sound so sweet that she couldn't help but feel herself tear up.
Mommy!
The purple filly ran up to her mother, the golden-eyed postmare. She leaned down and the filly jumped up, knocking her mother onto her back from the jump.
Muffin!
The two locked in an embrace, so tight that Twilight thought the two may never come apart. Although, she thought, I think it would be just fine for them. She searched for her own assistant, but the dragon wasn't making an appearance. She moved towards the library, but the crowd was in her way.
Excuse me, I need to get through.
Just one thing, Miss Sparkle. The mare pointed a hoof to the 10 ponies following them.
Who are they?
Twilight castigated herself for forgetting something so simple.
Ponyville, if you please. I'd like you to meet the team.
The walk to the library was surprisingly quiet. She figured most of Ponyville had shown up to see their return, which left very few out on the streets. She slowly looked around, the sights and sounds of a world that had started fading from her memory in that unfamiliar one.
Twilight!
She turned around and saw Trixie galloping towards her.
Trixie, what's up?
She slowed to a walk as she approached the violet unicorn.
I just wanted to...
Trixie's sentence trailed off, mumbling her last words.
To say good...
Again, she mumbled. Twilight leaned in.
One more time?
Trixie huffed, then straightened her shoulders, locking eyes with Twilight.
Goodbye. I'm leaving town once I find my cart, and I couldn't have my rival not know about my departure.
She regained the ego that the great and powerful Trixie was known for. Twilight giggled.
Will you be coming back, rival? Count yourself lucky, Twilight Sparkle, for this will not be the final time you see the great and powerful Trixie.
Trixie looked around, as if some invisible entity would see her drop the facade.
Besides, if every time I came to town it was this exciting, I may just come back more often.
Trixie rose up on her back legs.
Farewell, Twilight.
A puff of smoke, and the mare ran off at full clip. Twilight rolled her eyes, but smiled. She stepped to the library door, pushing it open quietly. The house was dark, but in the darkness she could make out her purple assistant snoozing on the sofa in a ball. She quietly walked over to him and nudged him.
Spike! Wake up, Spike!
He rolled over, rubbing his eyes.
Stupid dreams. You don't have to keep reminding me, you know.
He rolled back over.
Spike! This isn't a dream!
That's what the last one said, so prove it. Pinch me. Twilight prodded the dragon lightly with her horn.
Ow! Wait!
The dragon's eyes lit up. He jumped at Twilight, hugging her around the neck.
It's you! You're back!
She wrapped a foreleg around him, tears flowing freely.
I'm not dreaming this time!
She was content to staying as close to Spike as possible for the moment. After a few minutes, the two let each other go.
Spike, I need you to take a letter.
Dear Princess Celestia, it has been months since my last letter, and I apologize greatly. Due to a magical mishap, I was sent to another world, one so different from our own that it's shocking, but even in the strangest environments, you can learn the majesty of friendship. Over the months, me and my friends, new and old, learned our lessons, from the grip of obsession, to finding one's place, to forgiveness, to just plain letting go of your inhibitions. While I will follow with more detailed reports, I wish most to say that we have all returned, intact and okay, but we do not have returned alone. Friendship takes many forms, and with these new ponies are no exception. Originally, they were the only ones around to help us, and we repaid them by saving their lives. I will write again soon, but to be honest, I need to rest badly. So I will end with this. A good team and a good friendship are very similar. Neither can function without mutual trust and cooperation, and just like friendship, teamwork can accomplish tasks even greater than ever seems possible. Your faithful student, Twilight Sparkle.